and a very warm welcome to the August edition of the North of Scotland Parkinson's Research Interest Group. A very warm welcome to any new listeners who are joining the pod today for the first time. And if you enjoy today's pod, please feel free to access the prior podcasts which have been published in 2023, which are freely available to download as many times as you like through the Podbean app. If you prefer, you're very welcome to access this podcast through Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or indeed any other listening device such as Amazon Audible. So today's podcast is going to take a slightly different format. Joe Holland, who lives up in the north of Scotland and is a member of the North of Scotland Parkinson's Research Interest Group, and myself were fortunate enough to attend the World Parkinson's Congress in Barcelona at the beginning of July. So as part of the Parkinson's Beats group, Joe and myself had a poster at the Congress where we shared findings about the Parkinson's Beats programme. And really what we'd like to do is share a little bit of information about what Parkinson's Beats is, what we've done, how the project started and how we've evaluated it, and more importantly, how you, if you're living with Parkinson's, could get involved. So that's really the format for today. So let's start about what is Parkinson's Beats. So as many of you probably heard me speak before, the value of exercise for people with Parkinson's is undisputed. However, what we need to make sure is that Parkinson's exercise needs to be enjoyable, and for anybody to develop a long-term exercise habit, exercise needs to be something that you enjoy, that you want to go back to. And so therefore, Parkinson's Beats, which is a form of cardio drumming where people drum a big inflatable gym ball in time to music, has it's very attractive to people with Parkinson's as it combines large amplitude of movement, it encompasses aerobic form of exercise, but it also enjoys that rhythm, which provides a cue to help regulate movement, but it also has that rhythmical movement of people having that enjoyable experience of immersing in music, and almost to me is a cheeky form of exercise because you're engaging with the music, you don't necessarily realise the amount of effort that goes into it. So Parkinson's Beats is a form of cardio drumming which has been adapted specifically for people with Parkinson's, so involves larger amplitude of movements, particularly of the upper limb, making sure that people are extending their arms, extending the spinal area. It involves rotation of the spine, but it also involves lower limb exercises and the fact that cardio drumming can be done in sitting or in standing. So for that, from that perspective, cardio drumming, in particularly Parkinson's Beats, which has been adapted for people with Parkinson's, combines aerobic exercise, it combines cueing, it can involve balance, as well as the strength component. So when we're thinking about prescribing exercises for people with Parkinson's, it really hits all those notes. In addition to that, Parkinson's Beats requires a degree of cognitive engagement, so people need to think about what they're doing because the drumming routines are all different. So each song will have a different drumming routine and involves counting and processing and thinking about movement patterns. So that attentiveness during Parkinson's Beats is also a key element of what should be prescribed within an exercise programme. So really when we're thinking about the key elements of exercise programme, Parkinson's Beats really addresses all of the key things that the current research evidence is suggesting should be encompassed within an exercise programme for people with Parkinson's. So that's really just to give you an overview about what Parkinson's Beats. So it's a form of cardio drumming that's been specifically adapted for people with Parkinson's. So I'm going to hand over to Helga now, who's going to take forward some questions to give us some background about how the Parkinson's Beats has evolved and developed within Scotland. So if I could hand over to you, Helga, that would be super.
Thanks, Julie. It sounds both fascinating and fun, but Joe Holland, who is on our Nosbrick group and in another guise is secretary of the group, you were really the driver behind this. What got you into drumming?
Well, I had a chance opportunity during lockdown. The Moray Council were doing over 55s exercise online classes. They were doing five sessions of cardio drumming, which I'd never heard of. I had a look at it online and thought, oh, that looks like fun. Maybe a bit too much exercise for me. However, it was adapted specifically for people that needed seated exercise. So anyway, I took part in these five free sessions, totally loved it straight away. loved it. I loved the music and the smiles on everybody's faces as well. So after lockdown, there were 5 further face-to-face sessions offered, which I also went along to and loved. And for me, the moment I knew I wanted to keep doing this was when I got to the bottom of a set of stairs without any pain in my knees, which I normally could not do. I was so exhilarated, I wasn't feeling the normal daily pain. That's when I knew I was hooked.
That's fabulous. So you then thought, is that when the thought came to you, we could develop this further in Scotland? We need to broaden this out so that more people perhaps hear about it and have access to it?
It was a bit more selfish than that. I thought, I can't stop doing this. I have to find a way to keep this going and to bring more people on board, obviously. So, yes, that was the point at which the light bulb went on and I thought, how can I get funding for this to keep this going?
And how did you do that? What was your next step?
First step was speak to Sharon Finley, who is the drumming instructor, to make sure that she would be interested in actually continuing this with me, and she was very keen. I then went about asking what sort of grants were available from Parkinson's UK and found out about the Scotland Activity Grant. Alison Williams helped me with that. I had help from Heather as well. There was various people who helped me. And I put a bid together and was very lucky to be successful. So that was intended for a 6-month trial project, which we have since extended with money from the National Lottery Community Fund.
And Julie, you were involved, as you mentioned, the evaluation that went into the research. How different is it, though, setting up a research project into something like this compared to more scientific or clinical research? Is it a totally different approach?
Absolutely, it is a slightly different approach. I think we were very aware, working with Jo, about the benefits that she felt as an individual from attending Parkinson's Beat. And therefore, it seemed to me, after being very fortunate to get Parkinson's Active funding, as Jo just mentioned, that really some sort of evaluation needed to be had. And so, you know, as a group, the 4 of us then applied to get a small grant through Parkinson's UK to be able to evaluate the impact of Parkinson's Beats. So it's an evaluation, is more a service evaluation, which is slightly different from conducting a research project, in the fact that we've got a smaller sample size and it requires slightly less rigorous approach, where we're also looking at people's satisfaction with Parkinson's Beats and with it, how they found engaging either in the face-to-face format or whether it was engaged in an online format. And really the purpose of the evaluation really was to start looking at the data to see if there was any positive trends in the impact it had on people with Parkinson's, which would really help inform a research project in the future. And really from that stage, this service evaluation is a preliminary kind of first steps to see what impact it would have. And as you're going to hear probably from today's session, that, you know, what it did show is a real positive impact. And really then the next steps for the group is to be able to assess this in a more objective and using a more rigorous methodology. So an evaluation is less rigorous compared to an objective research project. So that would be the key differences in relation to this.
Alison, Jo mentioned that part of this evaluation involved focus groups. You were involved with the focus groups. What did that entail, and why did you decide to take part?
I decided to take part because I'm passionate about the role of exercise in keeping me well and keeping my Parkinson's at bay. I'm also passionate about dance and about the effect of music, because music bypasses the defective parts of the Parkinson's brain. So to bring all of those together was just wonderful. And to be invited into this research project was also wonderful, because I've got a research background, and to be able to use it on something as something that I found as important and as personally motivating as Parkinson's Beats was a terrific opportunity. The focus groups that Joe and I ran together were held with people who'd just come out of a drumming session. And of course, I was able to join in those drumming sessions. One of them was face to face and the other one was online. And the idea was to capture the immediate response to the drumming. And we had four key questions. The first one was, how do you feel right now as you come out of the drumming session? And then, what impact do you find that the drumming class has on you? And how long does this effect last? And how would you describe the class and its impact to other people?
So a whole variety of questions. Do you think it's something that will that appeals to everybody of any age with Parkinson's? Or do you alter the class in any way for different ages?
Joe, I think that would be something that you would answer rather than me.
Yeah, I think the class is most definitely for all age groups. It doesn't suit everybody. We did have some feedback from a couple who would have preferred some classical music, for instance. And we have put some classical music in there, but it doesn't really lend itself to really banging away on that drum.
Yes, I suppose that I'm of an age that I was brought up with rock and roll, so I'm an old rocker, and I just love that kind of music with a definite beat. And it not only does it take my physical body back to my teenage years, it takes my memories and spirits back to my teenage years. And I think that for most of the people that we spoke to, that was the same kind of response, that the music worked in the present, and it also worked to I suppose bring forward old physical memories as well.
So clearly you got a very positive response from, as Alison's saying, the focus groups. Everybody seemed to love it. What did you then do with that information? What did you then have you changed anything, or are you planning to change anything or develop in a particular way?
I think we're constantly developing, constantly changing. There's new tracks of music coming in, certainly monthly, if not weekly. And every time you hear a bit of music, you think, oh, we need to drum to that. And then immediately you're away thinking, right, how do we do this? And how do we do this routine and that routine? So, yeah, we're constantly developing. We're always open to people's suggestions. Although generally, I think our current clientele are happy with the way things are and thoroughly enjoying it.
You mentioned that it was both online and in person. Have you noticed any particular preference for one or other method?
For those who do face-to-face, there's no other way to do it. It's so much fun. You're there with other people and you're hitting the drum at exactly the same moment. You can't quite hear that online, but you can really experience it in a live class. And that lifts people's spirits no end. But the people who doggedly turn up every class online have got to be doing it because they like it. So I would say it doesn't matter which way you do it, you're going to enjoy it.
And one of the responses from the online focus group was that, I'll just read it out actually. It says, I like the Zoom. I'm not so sure I'd do it if it wasn't on Zoom. I'd be so self-conscious that I wasn't hitting the drum at the same time that it would put me off. I like to be able to go for it. And I think Zoom was one way of people losing their self-consciousness.
I think that's really important, Alison. I think that's been shown in other research that doing it online, you know, while you might not get absorb the positive vibes that are coming as part of a group, that Joe said, for people that do perhaps feel self-conscious about how they may look or their ability to engage during exercise, Zoom offers that sort of personalised experience that takes those anxieties away because you're doing it in the comfort of your own home. And I suppose the other thing is that online really allows people to attend regardless of where they live. At the moment in the UK, or Joe even has people that attend from further afield into, you know, it's a sort of global attendee depending on time differences. So it offers some real opportunities for people to participate depending on their needs and how much they wish to engage. So to me, there's some real positives of engaging online. And even for those who live locally to the online classes, sometimes you just wake up in the morning and many people with Parkinson's will report feeling just that, oh, I've got to get in the car today and drive to the class. And actually that opportunity to be able to engage online just takes away that barrier that may be preventing them from exercising. And actually they can just sit in front of their laptop or their iPad or even their television and engage with that fully. And that means that they're still exercising. So I think it's that option of being able to engage online is a real positive aspect.
Julie and Joe, you both have taken this Parkinson's beats on summer holiday from Scotland to Spain to the World Parkinson's Congress that was on at the beginning of July. Tell us a little bit about that and how it was received.
Well, will I go first, Joe, and then you can enter in. So, yes, absolutely. It's a research group with Alison Williams, who's on the pod today, and Joe, but also you and Irons from the University of Derby. We submitted the sort of findings that Alison has touched on today from the focus group, but also some of the quantitative measures that we looked at evaluating the impact of Parkinson's beats. We submitted an abstract to the World Parkinson's Congress, and that was accepted, and the poster was also accepted for a tour as being in one of the top 15 abstracts that were submitted to the Congress, which was really quite an honour. So Joe and I were very fortunate enough to actually go to Barcelona and attend the WPC this year, which was just a real positive experience, both personally and professionally for us both. So the poster presentations are held and people from any attendees from the conference can come and watch those posters. And Joe was an absolute star. And our poster was very much a live poster presentation in the fact that we had a poster there giving the background to what we did, the methods of how we approached the evaluation. But really, although I created that poster, the star of the show was Joe doing a live demonstration of Parkinson's beats. Status Quo were there online with her as she was going through her moves. And that was really interesting to see how people engage with the poster and really the number of people where that form of physical activity seemed to be something that was appealing. And what was palpable, and I hope Joe doesn't mind me saying, you could just see how it just transported her demeanour, her physical ability. It was really quite touching to be there to see what a positive impact it made just from doing a 5-minute session of drumming. And I think that was something when we did the poster tour that was very obvious to those who were participating in it. So it was lovely to go to WPC and share the positive findings, but also to link with other people globally about joining in the Parkinson's beat movement and how accessible it was to all people with Parkinson's, regardless of the stage that they are in their Parkinson's journey. So that was for us. We took the poster, which we will make available. And I think the next step for us as a research group is really to publish the findings. So the evaluation involved, as Alison said, the focus groups, but we also did some measures on those who attended face-to-face to look at their impact on their exercise self-efficacy, their health and well-being, but also their walking and their balance. So the next step for us as a group is to publish those findings more widely, and then with that look to gain funding to perhaps evaluate it, as you were asking earlier, Helga, in a proper formalised research question, comparing it with, say, other forms of exercise or control groups, because at the moment the data we've collected is only involving those who've currently attended. So that was exciting. So that was that gives you a bit of background of what Joe and I did. Joe, do you have anything you want to add to that as being the star drummer?
You're far too kind. For me to go and do something that I absolutely love and which gives me so much exhilaration and joy. It was just really good fun. Wasn't work for me at all. And Julie doesn't say enough about herself. Everybody, everywhere you went, "Oh, Julie, we know you. Oh, Julie, can you evaluate this? Oh, Julie, would you do this for me?" She's a superstar. So it was a great experience. Everywhere I went after that, we did a bit of, you know, I met people and said, "Come on then, let's just do a bit of drumming without the drum." And I met loads of people who are really interested in the project. The girls from Reach Your Peak are going to join in one of our sessions in September to have a little look at it. I think from their point of view, should they be doing this themselves and providing the opportunity to other people down south? So, yeah, great experience. Loved it. Loved drumming. Would do it anywhere.
Reach Your Peak, just to explain, that's a group of physios who specialise in Parkinson's exercise.
That's right, yeah.
So, what next for Parkinson's Beats? Parkinson's Beats.
Sky's the limit.
Sky's the limit. What were the challenges, though? Did you have any real challenges and obstacles along the way?
The challenge initially was convincing people that they wouldn't feel daft if they'd come along and give it a go. I had a little bit of difficulty getting people to come to the live class. Now they're there. I don't think you'd wrench them away by any means. So once they've tried it, they love it. I think what's next is maybe we expand this. It doesn't just have to be Parkinson's. This seems to be beneficial to other people with other neurological conditions. Maybe they should have the opportunity to join in. More classes, maybe Sharon could train other people to provide online, face-to-face classes elsewhere, and to continue what we're doing, to keep going, keep the excitement going.
Interesting your comment there about how it could apply to people with other neurological conditions. It sounds something that is really at the start and has got huge potential to.
It does. We have one young lad who comes to the live class because we have space in the class. He has Asperger's and various other neurological conditions. And if you could see his little face when he's there, and you're doing Sweet Caroline, which is his favourite piece of music. It's a joy to watch, an absolute joy.
You know, from that, as part of the evaluation, we used a variety of different measures to look at the impact that attending Parkinson's Beats had on people. And when we look at things around exercise self-efficacy, the measure which we use, so exercise self-efficacy is people's confidence that they can be able to engage in exercise. What we noticed that between baseline and 6 months later, people's self-efficacy had really, really improved. People felt more confident in their ability to exercise during the class, but also more confident to be physically able outside the class and tackle everyday activities. So not only did they feel more able participating, but that benefit seemed to spread over into a tackling everyday activities, which would suggest that there was a confidence element that came in addition to that. We also used the Warwick Edinburgh Mental Health and Wellbeing Scale. And so that looks at the impact that it has on people's mood. And again, what we noticed within that is that when we look at those scores, people's mental health and wellbeing really improved as a result of participating in the class. And I think that's really important because a lot of previous research studies have focused on the physical benefits, which I think are really important. But equally, what is really important is that people feel better in themselves and feel more empowered and enabled to participate in the everyday life. And something that was clear when I read through some of the great feedback that came from the focus groups done by Alison and Joe was that really that people attended the class and enjoyed that, but that benefit seemed to continue for the rest of the day, and people felt I've done that, felt very empowered, but then felt really enabled to tackle the rest of the day. And I'm not sure that all forms of exercise could necessarily claim that. It's that positivity just seemed to filter through and it therefore had a longer term effect. I don't know, Alison, whether you want to share some of the other qualitative findings that you had from your focus groups, because they really were some amazing findings.
Yes, the word that jumped out was euphoria and exhilaration, enjoyment, joyful. And I think one of the things that was incredibly important, and this is down very much to Sharon, was the element of complete emotional safety. The class, there was no sense at any point that I would make a fool of myself. It was just everybody was there doing the same thing and doing it with passion and enjoyment. And it was very clear, we've got some things here. I forget about Parkinson's for the rest of that day. It takes your mind off your difficulties for a while. And on drumming days, I'm a lot more chilled because I don't have the pain and the stiffness. And so the drumming class takes people away from their condition. It takes people, and myself included, out. It takes me out of myself, and it takes me into a happy place. It's getting into flow where I lose my self-consciousness. And the other thing that I think is really important is what some people call brain control. That because you're putting so much concentration and effort into getting the sequence of the movements right, then I came out of the classes, and other people said the same thing, feeling that my synapses had actually spoken to each other and connected. And that sense, especially on days when my brain isn't working as well as I would like it to, it's really important. Because, and people recognize, where are we? There's a lovely quote here: you're pushing yourself more as well, because some of the more complex movements are more difficult to achieve. And other people saying, I like the harder ones as well. So I suppose, I mean, Parkinson's closes us down in so many ways. It closes us down physically, obviously, and it closes us down emotionally and mentally. And the drumming opens us up again. It opens up it opens us up physically, it opens us up socially, and because we're doing it with other people. It opens us up from the point of view of mood and emotion. And I mean, I just think it's wonderful.
What a lovely expression, it opens us up. You know, that really does sound absolutely exactly what Parkinson's people need. Obviously, Joe, there are Parkinson's spreads of a vast number of people of different stages of the disease. Can anybody take part, whether they're newly diagnosed or whether they're 10, 20 years down the line?
Anybody can take part. You don't have to use two arms. If one of your arms doesn't work, use one. Some people get up and dance. Most of us sit down, and some of us will dance in the chair. Some of us do a half-half. Anybody can get fun out of this.
And do you need any special equipment?
We use a yoga ball and drumsticks and a sort of garden potato planter type thing to hold the yoga ball. Some people use an upside-down laundry basket and wooden spoons. We have one gentleman whose wife doesn't appreciate the drumming, so he uses a pillow and wooden spoons. So you can adapt to use all sorts of things, but the ideal is a yoga ball, a couple of drumsticks, and something to stop your ball rolling away.
Sounds fabulous. If anybody is listening and they would like to take part, how can they do so? How can they find out about it?
Oh, number of ways. They can email me on joehollandparkinsons@gmail.com, or they can go on to the Parkinson's Beats webpage, which is newly created, a bit fresh, but my email address is on there. They could contact Julie for my email address. Variety of ways of doing it, and we're on Facebook. We've been on the Scotland Facebook page, and as I say, the Parkinson's Beats page,
and also on the NOSPRIG website, which is NOSPRIG.org. You can find a link to Joe's emails on that as well.
That's right. And on Joe's pages, there's some photographs of the class as well. And we'll try and upload the poster, which we took to WPC, to the podcast pages as well, just so you can get that. And that has a QR code, which takes you a direct link to the Facebook page. And that might be useful for people to see some of the photographs and to be able to visualise what Parkinson's Beats is. Joe, I just wondered if you could tell us, if people want to join, what days is it on? And is there any cost involved in joining, or any support to help people to get started? Because I think that's the big thing. I think what this evaluation has shown is that it can be delivered. The work that you've done with Alison shows that people enjoy it, and it appears to have benefits, both physical and on sort of social, cognitive and emotional benefits. So how can people access it if they want to join? Is there any costs involved?
Okay, yeah, we are face-to-face classes in Elgin on a Monday at 11 o'clock. That is also run online concurrently. We also have online only on Thursdays at 2 o'clock. We ask for a donation of £2 per session, but at the moment we're pretty well funded by the Lottery Community Fund. So the donation is that. If you can't afford it, you don't need to give us anything. We're there to help. And to make this available to as many
people
as
possible. Perfect. So Monday and Thursday is your fix to get your Parkinson's Beats is Monday and Thursday. And can anybody apply from, can anybody join from across the UK?
Anybody.
Fab. So anybody in the UK. So there's really no excuses for not attending. Sorry, Helga, I think I cut you off. Is there something you wanted to add?
I just wanted to ask, you did mention that it may suit people with other neurological issues. Can they join in too if they think it's something that might suit them?
Absolutely. I don't see why not. This isn't going to go away. I'm also looking at other sort of funding streams for the future. So we're not going to go away. We're here. I would like to see other neurological conditions having this opportunity.
That's absolutely superb. So looking forward to seeing Parkinson's Beats take over the world. Because it certainly sounds like it.
Watch this space.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, everybody, for your contributions today. Thank you to Alison and Joe for attending, and for Helga hosting all the questions today. That has been super. And within the blurb for the podcast, we'll put all the contact details for people who wish to either inquire about attending or where they and how they can attend should they wish to. And indeed, whether today's podcast has any questions that people want to ask, how to ask those questions, and be more than happy to help. I think hopefully you've taken home the message today that Parkinson's Beats is a novel approach to exercise that ticks many of the sort of boxes in relation to what the exercise guidelines are for people with Parkinson's. And really, you know, what we found from this evaluation, it really has a positive impact on the health and well-being of people with Parkinson's. So really, a really exciting avenue for us to explore further in the future. So it's there for people to access. Come and join the movement. Come and join it and get into the vibe and the positivity associated with Parkinson's Beats.